blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Amen. All right, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and we're going to begin reading with verse 24, and I will only read about four or five verses, okay? Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for the season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I'll stop there. Four verses that are so power-packed that any one of them could be the basis of a sermon. I mean power-packed verses. Now, as we look at these verses this morning, we're looking at the heart and the action of a man who was a man that was truly a servant of God. A man who made an impact as great upon his world as any man of God has ever made. Moses was absolutely a breathtaking servant of the Lord. And you'll notice four things in that great, great text I read. Each verse represented one. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Number two, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Verse three, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater treasures than all that Egypt had. And finally, he forsook all of it and fled, by seeing him who is invisible. Now notice that. By seeing him who is invisible. Now before you see it, I want you to say the word faith. F-A-I-T-H. Faith. Faith. Say it again. Faith. Now what is faith? Real biblical faith is that ability to look beyond the natural and see the invisible. Real faith is that ability to believe that God does that which humans cannot understand or cannot see. Real faith knows that when you trust Him, God always has the answer to every situation. When you depend upon Him, you can know that God doesn't fail. Now, in each of these verses, there's something beautiful. In verse 1, you see the heart of Moses. In verse 2, you see the mental attitude of Moses. In verse 3, you see the values in which Moses placed upon matters and things. And number 4, you see an eternal perspective from Moses' viewpoint. An eternal perspective from Moses' viewpoint. You may be seated. Father, help me preach this morning. This is a message that really has got a hold of my heart. And I thank you because for me, it is a real blessed experience to even look at this sermon, to even consider the preaching of this sermon. I would call my title, Faith That Can See the Invisible. Faith that can see the invisible. You say, Brother Chambers, now I'm a natural person, I'm an honest person, but I live in the flesh and I can't see invisible things. Well, that's right, as far as the flesh may speak or the flesh may experience. But you see, that's the beauty of the Bible and the beauty of faith and the beauty of God. It's because He represents a realm in which you cannot see, a realm which is beyond the view of our eyes in the flesh. He represents a realm that is bigger and greater and more wonderful and more exciting than anything this world has anything to do with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is just plain wonderful to me. Now, you know, to go to the book of Hebrews, I can't help but remember Brother Joey Yates' sermons. I can't help but remember how Jesus, when He was crucified, ascended back right up through the sky above the 500 that watched Him leave and disappeared into the clouds and went straight to the Father's temple where He was seated at the Father's right hand. His blood was now upon the altar of the temple in heaven. And Jesus is going there now to sit beside the Father because He's been down here and He's felt the pain that we have. He saw the limitations of our earthly life. He saw the result of what sin does to human lives. He saw the helplessness of flesh to stand in the realm of the spiritual because Jesus had been down here right where we are and felt exactly what we feel. But now He leaves here and goes back to heaven to be seated at the Father's right hand. He doesn't leave like He came. He was just a baby when He appeared. He was God in the flesh, but He was just a baby. He left here having paid every bit of the price for all of my and your problems, having suffered everything needful for our redemption. He had been whipped in the hall of Pilate for our healing. He had been crucified on the cross for our forgiveness and everything that man needs. Jesus had come down here to provide it. And now since it's all provided and everything is finished, He turns around after His resurrection and He goes back to heaven. And He sits down at the Father's throne. Now, He goes back there to remember you and I and to take everything we need on a regular basis and to surrender it and commit it to the Father. Are you listening to me? So that now the Son of God who died on the cross, who arose again, who ascended back to heaven, is up there and He knows the name of Sarah and He knows the name of Joe. And He knows the name of Buck Lindsey. And He knows every one of us. And He knows everything that needs to be known about us. Did you know He knows your down sittings and your uprisings? That's what the Bible says. He knows your thoughts from afar off. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you did this morning. He knows what you did yesterday. He even knows what you are thinking. He knows your thoughts afar off. And so this great Savior, who is all wise and all powerful and all sufficient, and everything you have need of, is sitting beside the Father telling him what you need. And as he tells him, if you believe, then the Father can meet that need. It's no good for Jesus to tell him what you need if you don't believe him to meet the need. If you don't trust him. If you can't put your faith in him and lean upon him and doubt him not, everything he is becomes of no value to you. Isn't that wonderful? It's also scary. I mean, all that God is and all that Jesus did is dependent on me. I trust in him and believe in him. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. You diligently seek him. You pray day, and you pray night, and you believe when the chips are down, and you believe when things are looking terrible, and you believe when there's no answer, and you call on God and cry out to him, and if he's God and Jesus is the Son of God, the answer will come in the right moment. Anybody receive this? Anybody say hallelujah to it? You believe God really answers prayer? You think God really meets your need? You think God is really sufficient? You think God is all you need? All right, let's go to Moses. I love Moses. I love Moses. He was one man that talked to God mouth to mouth, the Bible says. Talked to God mouth to mouth. I want you to know Moses knew God. And Moses knew God because Moses had made the right choices. Moses knew God because Moses was an obedient man. Moses knew God, and yet in the same way that Moses knew God, you can know God. And that's a challenge. Oh, man, does that challenge me? I mean, even yesterday, I was praying, God, somehow bring me to the place that I see that Moses came to. Well, let's look at four things about Moses. Number one, Moses made a choice. Moses made a choice. Now, I want you to hear me. Listen to me. Being a Christian must start with a choice. Many people come to church and they feel a little emotion. They feel a little tingle. They feel a little, you know, a pious feeling. And they come down to the altar and they proclaim that they turned their lives over to Christ. But all they've done is responded to an emotional feeling. They've not made a choice. They've responded to some tingle up their spine. They've responded to some beautiful song that was sung or to some beautiful thing the preacher said. They've responded to just many things about the Bible are very wonderful and they can stir your soul. One man went back from trying to arrest Jesus and said, never a man spake like this man. But we never heard from him again. We never heard from him again. That was the last thing about him. That was the last thing we ever heard about him. You see, he knew Jesus was the great preacher, and he was emotionally stirred, but he didn't make a choice. Moses is down in Egypt, and he makes a choice. And I want to talk about that business of making a choice. You see, the church is full of people that respond emotionally to the Bible, that respond most emotionally to the music, that respond most emotionally to promises in the Bible, but they've never made an absolute, unequivocal, undebatable, they've never made a total and utter choice. I am going to serve God from this day forward. And I'm here to call you this morning to a choice. I'm here to call you to a choice. The Bible said Moses, by faith, when he was come to years, when he was old enough that Pharaoh's daughter couldn't decide for him, that he was a man of his own choosing, that he was a man who had the right to make his own choice. And the Bible said when he came to years, he decided, rather than being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, refusing, refusing. The Bible said he turned from that, refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I want to tell you something. We're talking about a position as high as was available in that day. You couldn't be any higher than to be a part of the Pharaoh's family and to be part of the Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, the daughter of the son of the daughter, the adopted son of the daughter of Pharaoh was Moses. He'd been raised in all the academics of Egypt. He'd been raised in all the wealth of Egypt. He had lived in a palace so beyond measure, with so much food of every description. Everything the young man wanted, he had it. Everything. But he was a son of Israel living in Egypt, and he chose rather than being the son of Pharaoh's daughter that he would like to turn to the God of the Jews. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that's a choice everybody's having to make today. I mean, you look around you and there's money in abundance. There are more millionaires today in the world, in America. And think we've got a billionaire that's running for president. He don't even ask you for donations. He's running on his own dollar. You know, that may be good or bad. I'm not arguing that this morning. I'm just here to tell you we live in a world of absolute pleasure. Our world is so full of pleasure that when a holiday weekend comes, people scatter here and there looking for some kind of pleasure, looking for something to satisfy. Well, there was Moses in the very center of the greatest wealth known in that era, that generation, and he looks at all of it and he chooses not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Hallelujah. Does anybody feel what I'm saying? Does anybody understand that you've got a choice to make this morning? I'm not preaching to feel good or to look good. I'm preaching this morning to bring you the message. I'm preaching this morning to bring you the truth. You've got to listen to me. You've got to make a choice. You've got to make a choice. You've got to make a choice. Do you choose to be part of this world system? Do you choose the wealth and the pleasure and all the things this world provides, or do you choose the great God Jehovah? Hallelujah. Do you choose the Creator? Do you choose the Master? Come right on in. Now, folks, a bunch of these boys from have come. I guess they rode a bus. Well, I want them to come on to church. We're here to minister to everybody and anybody. Amen. Somebody raise your hand and tell God you love Him, will you? Come on, raise it way up there high and tell God you love Him. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how wonderful He is, how precious He is, and how joyous I am to preach to this crowd. Hallelujah. You listen to me. Everybody out there, listen to me. You've got to make a choice. Listen, everybody now, turn your head to me, okay? They're here, and we're glad to have you, John, all of you, but listen to me. We make a choice. Do we want to serve the God this world is serving, or do we want to serve the God Jehovah who made us? Hallelujah. Which God do we want to serve, the God of this world or the God of heaven? Somebody raise your hand and tell me, which God do you want to serve this morning? Which God are you willing? If you were living in Egypt and you were the grandson of the Pharaoh, would you give it up to be a Christian? Would you? Raise your hand if you would. I mean, if you had all the wealth of a Pharaoh's house, would you give it up to be a part of the kingdom of God? Raise your hand if you would. That's a choice you have to make. That's a choice you need to make. Some of you have been religious. I've seen you with emotions of religion. Well, it's time you got beyond emotions of religion, and it's time you came to a choice. Something right down here in the center of your being, your heart. Choice. 64 years ago, March, I made a choice for Jesus Christ. I was the son of a very, very, very capable farmer. He fed us. He kept new cars. He had things that many people didn't have. But when I got a chance to say yes to Jesus, I left all of that and decided for Christ. I had a brother died, a millionaire. I've got others in my family that are very, very wealthy. And that's okay. I don't envy it from them. In fact, their kids are fighting over it. And I wouldn't even want to be a part of that. But I want to tell you something. What I got is heavenly. And the world can't take it away. And the rust can't destroy it, and the world can't steal it. Hallelujah. It's a choice. I've made a choice for Jesus. How about you? That's the greatest point of Moses' life. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That he chose. Now, I don't want you to come to the altar this morning because you get a little emotion. But I'd love to have every one of you who would make a choice. And you would say, this is my day to decide for Jesus and for his love and for his divine name. I want to represent him the rest of my days. I am not an Egyptian. I am an American. I am not a worldian. I am a Christian. I don't belong to Lucifer and his world of pleasure. I belong to the God creator of the universe. Hallelujah. That's a choice you got to make. Woo, hallelujah. I like the business of making choices. That's got to be one of the greatest words in the English language, is choice. Did you know God didn't create you as a robot? God didn't make something out of you that you got to obey him whether you want to or not. You are an individual. You have a heart. You have an ability mentally. You've got the capacity as an individual. You can choose whether you want to walk the high road or whether you want to walk the low road. You can decide whether or not you want to search for the wealth and the riches of the world, or you can decide, I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ because the King is coming and I'm leaving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Choice. Choice. Say that word with me, would you? Choice. Everybody say it. Choice. All right. Now, you made a choice. Moses made a choice. But it didn't stop there. Listen to this. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Nobody denies there's pleasures in sin. Nobody denies there's pleasures in doing wrong things, erotic things, dark things, evil things. There's some pleasure there. It's limited. It's very temporary, but it's there. Well, Moses looked at all of this and choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. It costs to be an old-fashioned Christian. You can be a wimpy Christian, and it don't cost you anything, but you're not really a Christian. You're just a wimpy religious person. You can be half-hearted and half-committed and half on the altar, and it's very little to it, and it won't get you to heaven, but many people are choosing that route. Well, here is a route that is a mental choice for Moses. He looked at all the circumstances. He looked at all the situations. He knew all about the world. He had learned in the great schools of Egypt. He'd been to the universities. Everything of learning that there was available in Egypt, Moses had it. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Hallelujah. I mean, look at our world today. Look at how much of the world doesn't care a flip about God. Look at how much of the world that don't want the burden of going to church on Sunday. Look at the majority of the world that don't want anything to do with living a holy and a clean and a responsible life. I told you Wednesday night, I was in Trader Joe the other day, and I was at the cash register, and this nice young man was asking me how I look so healthy to be so old. And I said, because I live right. I said, I don't drink and cuss and swear and smoke, and I don't commit fornication, I really emphasize that word fornication, because this generation of young people, they'd rather commit fornication. I mean, they're just living for fornication. I mean, that's how this world's living. I mean, you talk about fornication, it's everywhere today. The majority of young people do not reach the time of marriage without having given up the virtue of their womanhood, of their manhood, because it's a generation of fornication. And when I said fornication, he backed up. I said, I guess that leaves me out. Well, he was honest. And I was glad I was saying it loud enough, everybody that was hopefully hearing me. Because I want to tell you something. It's a choice. It's a mental choice. Now, you got to stop a minute here. I want you to put your finger up here inside your brain, would you? How many of you have got a brain? Let me see your hand. Some of you can't even raise your hand on that one. Can you guys raise your hand on that one? How many of you got a brain? Come on, how many of you got a brain? You really got a brain? How many of you with your brain, you can see the difference of living a Christian life or living an ungodly life? How many can see that difference with your brain? How many of you know the difference of what it means to be pure and to be impure? How many of you know the difference between being holy and being unholy? How many know the difference in being faithful to your wife and going after every woman they can find? How many know the difference in that? Same thing with men, going out, or women. I mean, we live in a day of fornication. It's unreal. It's unreal. I want to tell you something. Moses came to make a mental choice. And the Bible said he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. That was a mental choice. Hallelujah. How many have ever made a mental choice? I'm really going to be God's. Or you can make an emotional choice, and that may not last long enough to get home. But boy, when you make a mental choice, when that old brain goes into gear, when that old brain thinks his way through it, when that old brain says, hey, that's not for me. I'm not going to live by those things because I know where they end up. I know the end of sin, and the end of sin has never been pretty, and I think it gets uglier by the day. The people, I mean, read the newspaper at people whose lives are wrecks. Wrecks. Where do you think it started? They made a choice. Every person you know whose life is a wreck, they made a choice. Every person whose body has been so overcome with drugs and they've taken heroin and all the drugs until their brain is out of gear, until they can't think, until they mentally are either stupid or crazy or halfway there, and they're destroying themselves. And where did it all start? It started when they made a choice for this world. Don't give me no marijuana. I don't want it. Oh, I need it. I need a high. Well, you don't need a high if you've been to Calvary, because you got the highest high there is on the face of this earth. Does anybody hear that? When you know Jesus, you've been to the highest height. Hallelujah. He's the Savior. Well, Moses looked at both directions and he chose mentally to become God's. Now think about it. I'm putting you on the line. You got to think this morning, okay? Everybody got your brain in gear. Put your finger up here again. Got your brain in gear. Come on, everybody in the building. Got your brain in gear. Come on, fellas. Got your brain in gear. Now, what are you going to decide? Do you esteem the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of this world? Do you esteem what Jesus can do for you greater than what some shot in the arm of drugs can do for you? Can you esteem the difference between drinking a beer or a big bottle of wine and getting yourself about half crazy? Can you understand the difference in that and giving your life and knowing Jesus Christ and all of his love? You say, but I've never known him. I want to tell you this morning, if you ever know him, it will be greatest thing ever happened in your life. There's nothing this world that's got that matches knowing Jesus. I said, there's nothing in the world that Satan's got that matches knowing Jesus. Raise a hand and just wave it a little bit before God, will you? Hallelujah. I'm saved, and I'm saved, and I know I am. Say that with me. I'm saved, and I'm saved, and I know I am. I'm saved, and I'm saved, and I know I am. Hallelujah. I've been to Calvary. Hallelujah. And Jesus has made the difference in my life. I belong to him. Oh, hallelujah. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Choosing rather. Oh, that's a choice. You can't make a choice without a brain. When you make a mental choice, friend, you've really done something wonderful. Now, let's talk about, we talked about choice. And we talked about the whole business of your heart choosing. Your heart choosing. Then we talked about, we talked, and it's very important you remember this. We talked about the mental choice. But now, let's talk about the values choice. Let's consider values. How many know how valuable a $100 bill is? Anybody know how valuable a $100 bill is? I tell them at the bank, they'll always keep a $100 bill. Always do. Why you keep that? Because I want to be able to give out to Sister Chambers when she wants it. Because I know that giving her something to let her know I love her is important. So I keep a $100 bill just to give to her. Now, she hadn't been told this because she might start asking me too often. You know how that is, don't you? Now she knows, and I guess that's what I'm going to face every week. I need another 100, Dad, you know. And I promise you, as long as they last, they should get them. Should get them. Well, let's talk about value. What is the value of life as you perceive it right now? What do you see with your life? Look at your life. Look at where you've been, where you are, and where you're going. What is the value of your life? What are you worth, Allen Church? You don't want to tell me, do you? He probably got a lot of money in savings account somewhere, so he don't want to tell. I'm kidding with him. I don't know nothing about it. I know this. I heard a preacher say some time ago, he said, our church has enough money to pay off everything we owe and have money left. That's what he said. He said, but the problem is it's in your bank account instead of ours. That's probably true this morning. Would you imagine? I guarantee you, everybody here, if we had all the money you got in savings account, we'd have so much money, we'd buy that bus, and we wouldn't even have to worry about borrowing it, would we? Am I right, Dylan? We'd have to worry about borrowing it. Well, we're talking about value. I'm trying to get your mind on values now. Well, what kind of car do you want to drive? Are you satisfied just to have a nice little car that's kind of small and reasonable? Or do you got to have a big old fancy one? See, all of these things has to do with values. We live in a world that values the highest and the best. We live in a world that really is value conscious. Well, let's talk about eternal values. Let's say 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, maybe 70. Some of you will reach 80. Probably not many will reach 80 sitting here. Jesus is coming probably. Who knows what's going to happen? But a few of us, do you know the average age of all death in America is 77? I was walking through the airport in Atlanta some time ago, and there was a big sign up over the walkway that said the average age in America is 77, and that was a particular time that I was either 78 or 79, and I thought, wow, I'm living on borrowed time. Well, we're talking about values. What do you value life? What do you value life? Well, I want to tell you, esteeming the reproach of Christ, greater value, greater riches than all the treasures in the world. Now, that's what I want to get you to think this morning. I want you to understand that whatever this life may give you, whatever amount of money you may accumulate, whatever amount of wealth you may wind up in a savings account, however big the home is that you may have, and however long the car is that you may drive, I want you to compare that with an eternal home in heaven. I want you to compare that with living in a mansion on a golden street where the road is paved with gold. I want you to value that with everything the Bible says about heaven and the future. And I want to see if there's anybody. I want to tell you something, that Donald Trump may be well healed in money. billionaire many times over. I don't know how many times. But I want you to know something. When I die, I'm going to be so much richer than he ever thought he was until there is no comparison. And I don't know, maybe he'll get right with God, and he'll, I don't think he's right with God at this point, I'm being honest with you, but maybe he'll get right with God, and I'm not putting him down, I'm not politicking, okay? I'm just telling you what the facts are. Money, don't compare with heaven, golden streets, oh, hallelujah, how about saying that with me? Money, come on. Money. Say with me, things. Say with me, pleasures. Now let's leave that a minute and let's say heaven. Golden streets and mansions of pearl. Woo, hallelujah. John, I want to tell you something, buddy. Heaven, there's nothing compared to heaven. This world don't even have anything that even compares. Hallelujah. When I made a values decision for Christ, I valued what's available up there and what's available down here. Hallelujah. And there wasn't even a contest, and I decided on heaven. Woo, hallelujah. I decided that heaven was my choice. Sister Yvette, you're going to walk on golden streets. And you're going to live in a pearly mansion. Oh, Brother Derek, same for you, young man. Hallelujah. Oh, I decided on heaven. Say it again with me, would you? Money. Things. Pleasures. Now, Jesus. Come on, say it with me. Jesus. Come on, say it again. Jesus. Hallelujah. I get the feeling there's a couple over here that are really saved. You know, you don't know anything about that, do you? Oh, yeah. You go ahead and think that. You may be right, though. I hope you are. But I'll tell you something. We live in a world where most people have chose for this world. They chose pleasures and things. Hey, I'm telling you, I've found him who is the answer of all things. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm just going to serve him. Now, you got the picture. You can decide for God. It's got to start with your heart. And then after it passes the heart, it's got to become mental. It's got to get up here. You know, the reason some people don't even know on a given Sunday whether they're going to go to church or not. Why would somebody get up on Sunday morning and not really know whether they're going to go to church or not? Because they have mentally never made the everlasting choice. Am I right, Martha? When you decide mentally that you're going to serve God, there is no question about anything that has to do with obedience to God. It can be true with your tithing. If you decide mentally that you're going to serve God, then you will immediately start paying your tithes. And you'll never miss. If you got to go off on Sunday, you'll catch him up when you get back. Because it becomes a mental decision. See, much of the church world today is not mental Christianity. It's emotional Christianity. How many understand that? Am I making sense to you? Much of the Christian world is just emotional. Well, you feel on a given day. No, I made a mental choice. Everybody who made a mental choice, raise your hand up high. I made a mental choice. And then I made a values choice. I really like that one. I like this idea of a values choice. That's what Moses said. Let me read it to you. I'm not preaching something to you I don't have in the book. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Is that clear? Everybody understand that? He made a values choice. Esteem the reproach of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. See, he wasn't just looking at 30 years of age or 40 years of age. He was looking at 70 years of age. And see, as a man that's almost 80, my life, am I glad I made a values choice 60 some years ago. Am I glad? I didn't understand a lot I'm preaching this morning, but I knew there's something real about this. I made a heart choice, and then I made a mental choice. But now this morning, at some point, I can tell you I made a values choice. And now I want to end by telling you I made an eternal choice. Listen to this. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. I mean, here is the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And they have raised him and put great amount of monies into him. They've sent him to the best university. He has lived on the best food. He has slept in a bed that was so comfortable that it was almost impossible to grasp. I mean, everything had been wonderful. And the Pharaoh had supplied it. And now he's turning away from the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh is going to chase him to bring him back. And you know what they did with people back in those days like this, don't you? When you turned on the king, they eliminated you. They took your head off at your shoulder. I mean, they got rid of you. And old Moses knew he was in for it, and so he had to flee. He had to flee. Well, listen to what the Bible says. It says that by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now you've got to get with me for a moment here. As I bring this sermon to a conclusion, you've got to understand. How many of you have served God long enough and genuine enough that you know as well as you can comb your hair that there's a God up there and you belong to him? How many of you have come to know him until you can say by faith, I see the invisible one? Hallelujah. I want to tell you this morning, I've never seen the Son of God. I've never seen those nail prints in his hands. I've never seen those thorn prints around his brow. I've never seen where that spear stuck in his side. And I've never seen where those great nails had pierced his feet. I've never seen none of that. I've never seen him in his glory. I've never seen him in his brilliance. I've never seen him shining like the noonday sun, like some of the Bible writers did. But I want to tell you one thing. I know he's real. Hallelujah. I know that he's really real. I see him who is invisible this morning. I believe I can say without a question or a doubt, I see him who is invisible. Woo, hallelujah. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen the first day I met him. But as I've served him, he's become more and more real to me. He's real. He's real. I know he's real. Hallelujah. I could sing that this morning. He's real. He's real. I've been with Jesus, and I'm so happy. I can feel him in my soul. Hallelujah. He has paid the debt for me. He's redeemed me out of my clutches of sin and darkness. I'm a child of the king. I'm a child of the king. Woo! Pharaoh, you are nothing but a pauper. I'm a child of the king. Hallelujah. Could you say that with me? Pharaoh, you don't have anything compared to my king. He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last, which is, which was, and which is to come. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rock of ages. Hallelujah. He's the bright morning star. Hallelujah. He's the light of the world. He's the salt of the world. He's everything. Stand up with me, please, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do my best to bring this little sermon to a close, but I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is wonderful. You got to make a heart choice. You got to make a mental choice. You got to make a values choice. And you got to make an eternal choice. Brother Derek, I was thinking as I was studying, the reason I don't need this doctrine called once saved, always saved, is because I made an eternal choice. There's nothing else. I don't need nothing else, Brother Dylan. I got him. He's got me. More important than I got him, he's got me. How many can say he's got me? I've made up my mind. I belong to him. Hallelujah. I preach now a bit over time, but that's okay. I don't ever stop on time and don't plan to start. But I want to tell you something. It's wonderful. You, by faith, can see him who is invisible. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Kind of turn your head up. How well do you know Jesus? Have you served him so faithfully? Have you so mentally and utterly decided for him? Have you looked at the world in its values, and Calvary and Jesus and its values, and you made a decision for him? There's somebody here this morning who's not saved. There's somebody here, you've been claiming to be saved a long time, but you've never made a total mental choice to be totally his. Heads are bowed and every eye's closed. We don't need music. The Holy Ghost is in this house. Right, somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost, just raise your hand and worship him a minute. Hallelujah. 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 There's nothing like belonging to Jesus. There's nothing as wonderful as belonging to Jesus. Now, is there anybody in this building who would say, I'm not sure I'm saved? I've been religious, but I'm not sure. Or maybe you would say, I know I'm not saved. Would you get out of your seat right now and come and stand at this altar and say, I'm coming to Christ. I am making a heart choice this morning. I'm going to be his. Is there anybody? You're not sure. You're not sure. I tell you, it's very important that you know that you know. It's not enough today just to think that you think. You need to know that you know. Anybody? Raise your hand and pray, church. Help me pray. Anybody? I feel like there's somebody here that ought to be at this altar. I feel like there's somebody here that ought to come down here and make your choice this morning. I am going to be his, and that is a choice of my heart. That is a choice of my heart. It will never change. I'm coming. Anybody? I'm going to wait about 30 more seconds. Anybody? Oh, I would love to see somebody who's not sure, but you want to be sure. You're not sure, but you want to be sure. You're not sure, but you are aching to be sure. All right. All right. Now I'm going to make a different invitation. I want everybody in this building who has valued this world, and you have valued heaven, and you've decided that you esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in the United States of America. You esteem living for Christ of more value to you than anything that you can. That don't mean you won't be successful. It don't mean that you can't be a businessman. It don't mean that you can't be a banker. It don't mean that you can't be a doctor. It don't mean anything. God has things for every one of you, and God wants every one of you to make something really genuine out of your life. God's not a pauper, and God's not trying to make you a pauper. But I'm trying to tell you, you forget those things, and you follow Christ first, and then he'll do the rest. My Bible says, if you'll forsake this world and serve Christ, he will not only give you eternal life, but he'll give you things you would have never had if you hadn't served him. Now, how many of you could say, I make an esteemed choice this morning, a valuous choice. I'm coming to this altar to give my life afresh and totally and utterly to God. Would you step out and come? All over the building, everybody, this is for the believer. This is for anybody in this building. I'm coming to this altar. I'm coming here to stand before God. I'm coming here. Come on, come close so there'll be room for everybody around these altars. A wonderful crowd this morning. And come here and stand. I'm making an eternal choice. I'm giving me to Christ. I'm going to serve him the rest of my days with all I've got. Come on, fellas, if you mean this. If you don't mean it, then stay in your seat. I don't want you to be a hypocrite. Come if you mean it. I want to give my life to Christ. I give him all I am. I give him everything. Now raise your hand up to heaven and give it to him. You give it to him with all your heart in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come here and stand. And now raise your hands. Close your eyes. Don't watch nobody else. It's none of their business what you do. None of your business what they do. You surrender. Raise your hands, young men. God bless you. I love every one of you. I really fell in love with you Thursday. Hallelujah. But God, I'm praying for your mind and your will. Raising your hands, I surrender. Now pray. Brethren, pray. Men, pray out loud. We don't have to pray where you only hear one. We pray where everybody prays. Come on and pray. Pray out loud, brethren. I want you to help others feel comfortable to pray.